This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, welcome. Friday, 22 March, year of our Lord, 2024. Obviously, a lot going on. Very hot afternoon. And to give you signal, not noise, MTG, we're going to try to get her from an airport. We're going to try to get Boris Epstein here in a second. Brother Mike Benz is also going to join us. I want to go through where we actually are now for this afternoon. We had the passage of this monstrosity, and that's what's going to be called a monstrosity. That guarantees us $2 trillion of deficit this year, unlimited spending. I mean, this is the bastard child of the McCarthy deal. And they're all saying, oh, Mike Johnson didn't have, you had every opportunity. Anybody that's telling you, any of your congressmen, they're spinning you when you call their office, oh, we only have 1/9, 1/10 of the government, that's a lie. You've got all the leverage you need. You have more than enough leverage. You can just say no. And force these people to the table. There's no negotiations on this. Go back in time. Look at last summer. We had the single subject appropriations bill. Chip Roy, today, calling him out. All of those changes we got, all the woke and weaponized we got out, all back in this bill with all the spending. Nancy Pelosi plus. Who can justify that? Who can possibly justify that? MTG went to the steps of the Capitol. Went to the steps of the Capitol. And by the way, we have Boris. Okay, hang on 1 second. Okay, MTG is going to come here in a few minutes. We're going to play an open for her, but we have Boris Epstein. Let's go ahead and play the cold open and bring Boris in.
To this growing desperation. Yesterday we were talking about panic mode. Where do things stand?
Well, they're still in that mode because we are told that they don't know still how exactly they're going to secure this bond. Now, Donald Trump's rants did take a turn today because he had been saying it's impossible to get this kind of cash. No one can get this kind of cash. Even when you're talking to his team members, they say the same thing. They say no one, any billionaire is not going to be this liquid. And I did hear that from financial experts as well. When you look at all of his assets, we're coming to a place now where it's not like he can sell off assets. I mean, there's no fire sale. There's none of that. So now all of a sudden he takes a turn and he says on True Social, I currently have almost $500 million in cash. That is, again, the opposite of what they've been saying and what his lawyers have been saying in court. They have continually said this is unfair. No one can get this kind of money this quickly. And now, of course, you have him saying this. The other part of that, of course, is that he said that he would fund his own campaign, but now he had to put it towards this. He has not funded his own campaign since 2016, and we were told there were no plans to fund his campaign this time. So that seems like just a Trumpism.
So a little bit of Trumpism. Meantime, what are you hearing in terms of reaction to the growing possibility now? I mean, as you pointed out, you can't just have a fire sale for all of these properties. But there is this growing possibility about assets being seized.
And that's going to be really humiliating for the former president. I mean, one of the things that he cares about most is being portrayed as a wealthy businessman. Being portrayed as a wealthy businessman is not, you know, having a foreclosure sign on your house. Now, obviously, that's not exactly what this would look like. There's such a different bar for what would happen normally if someone's assets are seized when you're talking about this kind of money. Plus, there'd have to be involvement of local law enforcement in various areas. So it's not unclear what this would look like, but just the idea of having his stuff seized is an embarrassment for the former president and likely what leads to him posting stuff like this.
I don't think it's an embarrassment at all. I think we dare her to go seize him. As Frank Luntz, a Trump hater from way back, said, the moment they go to seize any of his properties, he wins in a landslide. Boris Epstein, we have Letitia James, the out-of-control Letitia James, is making moves to seize President Trump's properties. At the same time, CNN has an exclusive. Fonnie Willis is saying, hey, all steam ahead. Flanking speed. We're going to put this on trial, and we're going to put it on trial before the election. Your thoughts and observations, sir?
Steve, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with the posse. The whole thing's a joke. Obviously, these are the Crooked Joe, Biden-directed witch hunts. While Crooked Joe is destroying our country, destroying our border, destroying our national security, destroying our economy. They are persecuting and prosecuting and harassing President Trump and those who have stood with him consistently and loyally for a long time. Now, if you look specifically at this New York AG case, as President Trump and his team said so clearly and so strongly in the papers filed yesterday and put out in a press release yesterday, it is an absolute abomination to force somebody to go and sell properties or put up cash for a bond that's outrageous, unjust, and un-American when the likelihood of winning an appeal is overwhelming. Remember, President Trump did absolutely nothing wrong in that New York AG witch hunt, and he did nothing wrong in any of the witch hunts. But specifically in New York AG, there were no damages, no victims, happy banks, happy insurance companies, just a corrupt, and let's be honest, racist New York attorney general who made it her point to, quote-unquote, get Trump, and an absolute maniac of a judge in Judge Arthur Angora in that case. So President Trump and his legal team continuing to fight the battle there. In terms of Fani Willis, maybe she should be focused on the ethics complaints that have come against her, as well as the fact that Judge McAfee has now granted that certificate of immediate review, and that whole issue on her dismissal and disqualification of her and her team, dismissal of the indictment and disqualification of her and her team are going to now be up for a certificate of appeal in the Court of Appeals in Georgia. So that's where we are in those two. President Trump continuing to fight, and overall, as you see from President Trump and his legal team, It's all offense, and it's winning on every single front.
You believe then Fani Willis, when she tells CNN she's going to put this before, she's going to select a jury and you're going to go to trial before the election, that your belief is that's not going to happen?
My belief is that Fani Willis should be focusing on not embarrassing the people of Georgia instead of going on CNN, and her lover boy, Nathan Wade, should be figuring out whether he does or doesn't want to be on Meet the Press. You know, he booked himself that he canceled. Who told him to cancel? I guess it was an emergency. They're an embarrassment. Everyone knows that they lied to the court. It's absolutely clear. And that indictment, that sham indictment, just like every other sham indictment against President Trump, has to be dismissed.
Here's what it's hard for me to understand. I think the audience, the courts in New York appear so radical. And I realize you're limited. You're one of the lawyers coordinating all this and working on it. So you're limited in what you can say. But given the outrageous nature of the charges, given the outrageous nature of the judge and Letitia James and just the whole process and the fine and the penalty, how can President Trump actually, given that it's in New York courts, how can President Trump actually stop this madwoman from seizing his properties?
Well, without giving away any of the legal strategy, here's the bottom line. President Trump is in the right. An outrageous bond on an outrageous and illegal judgment is absolutely un-American. And anybody who's been following this case knows that there's the court system is at work as we speak. There's an appeal pending on that bond that was filed in the First Department of the Appellate Division. So and keep in mind, in terms of what Tish James did, yesterday she leaked, or somebody leaked, but not, you know, if someone believes it was somebody else, maybe they can imagine that. But the action was taken back on March 6th in terms of those preliminary filings she did up in Westchester. So that wasn't me action yesterday. Right now, President Trump, again, fighting, using all the levers of the legal system, fighting back against this weaponization. There's this corrupt and unconstitutional taking an excessive fine, something that is violating the federal and New York constitutions. And again, a total violation by the New York AG and just Judge Arthur Angora.
The legal team has done such a magnificent job, being you're fighting on 20 fronts and with limited resources. I take it the legal team feels good about this?
Not,
I know it's outrageous, but where your position is today?
We feel very strong about our position in this case and every one of these witch hunts, from the civil cases to the criminal cases. We are going to win each and every single one of them. President Trump is going to continue winning politically, and he will walk back into the Oval Office on January 20, 2025, and will make America great again.
Boris, hang for one second, because you're my kind of expert on Ukraine, Russia, Eastern Europe, the geopolitics. So let me just play. Can we play some footage? Horrific. Let's go ahead and play it, and we'll bring Boris in. Let's go ahead and play some of the footage.
Ёбаный в рот!
Okay, Boris, in a packed concert hall, it looked like it held several thousand people. A concert hall that's now on fire with, I don't know, Molotov cocktails or bombs, and the roof is collapsing. The Russian government has said at least 40 killed. We think that number is going to be much higher. And 100 casualties, that's going to be much higher. They're describing these people as terrorists. Any thoughts on this? As this war in Ukraine and Russia and Russia's war against Islamic terrorism continues to expand?
Yes, I've got thoughts on this. My thoughts are that this kind of terror is horrible. It's reminiscent of some terror all over the world, from theaters to streets, and more broadly, it's a sign and a direct condemnation of a total lack of leadership by pathetic, illegitimate, crooked Joe Biden. We don't have any safety in the world for anybody. You agree with countries, disagree with countries, doesn't matter. Adversaries, allies alike. Right now, the world is ablaze, just like that theater. The world is ablaze, and Joe Biden is to blame. His pathetic advisors, if you can call them that, are to blame because they have ruined what President Trump built, which is safety and stability all across the world. That's why we need the president, President Trump, back in office on January 20, 2025.
Amazing. Boris, where do the people get you on social media? I understand you guys have a busy weekend. Where do people go?
Busy weekend, busy week. We're always working. We're always winning. My information hot on the website, BorisCP.com. Sign up right now, BorisCP.com. Hot on Getter at BorisCP. Twitter at BorisCP. Hot on Truth Social at Boris. And the hottest on the gram, Boris_Epstein. Stay strong. God bless. And Shabbat Shalom.
Boris, thank you so much. The legal team there has just been on a magnificent run. If you think about the unlimited resources of the state, not just the state of New York, but the U.S. government to come after President Trump. And look how many different angles. You've got the J6 situation with Jack Smith. Of course, today, Chris Miller, and we're trying to get Chris on. Chris was the acting Secretary of Defense under President Trump. He's been on the show a couple of times. His chief of staff was Kash Patel. He tells the Daily Mail today in an exclusive that the J6 committee suppressed his testimony, would not let him testify truthfully about President Trump and the 10,000, calling up the 10,000 National Guards. I think that's kind of a bombshell. So we're trying to get Chris Miller on either tomorrow or the next day. Also, Cash. This reinforces Cash's testimony. Cash's testimony out in Denver. Remember that on the 14th Amendment trial? And Cash's testimony before the J6 committee, which we still can't find. They've suppressed that. You can't find that. So huge developments there. But think about the legal team. President Trump fighting on all fronts against unlimited resources of the federal government, of the Merrick Garland Justice Department. This is all driven by Biden in the White House. Just like Biden in the White House was having meetings with Fani Willis and Prosecutor Wade. I put that in quotes. You see what's happening in South Florida. The judges had a couple of rulings. I'm not saying in Trump's favor, but the media is melting down. You saw the 14th Amendment was 9-0. The immunity argument's coming up in a couple of weeks. Right now, they're head over heels on how to move quickly to get these trials done as election interference sometime in the summer. And of course, on Monday, they're going to actually meet in New York about the federal government. The U.S. attorney's holding back information from his state prosecution on the Stormy Daniels situation. On every front, President Trump's team has fought back, and with limited resources, because he's a private individual with limited resources, has just done a magnificent job. Okay, we're going to go back, hopefully get MTG at the airport. Big day in the House, a big day of horrible terror attack in Moscow. We'll bring you more of that. A lot going on with President Trump as he fights back. You think it's turbulent? It's going to get 100 times more turbulent. That's why gold, I think, hit an all-time high, another one today. At least it was earlier in the day. Go check it out. Go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team. You got full access to some of the smartest guys in the world regarding gold and precious metals. Understand why it's a hedge. Birchgold.com/Bannon. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it.
Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, we have a massive terror attack in Moscow at a theater. We'll get more on that later. MTG threw down today hard about a motion to vacate on Johnson, and people have misread this. I think she's done exactly what Mark Meadows did years ago when we removed Boehner. He dropped it at the very last second when everybody was leaving for then the August break, the August recess. People didn't come back to after Labor Day. And guess what? When I was at Breitbart with Meadows and others, we worked it 24-7 at these town halls. Back in those days, they had these big town halls at these town halls. And when Boehner returned after Memorial Day, or excuse me, after Labor Day, he said, hey, if I can stay through the Pope coming and greet him in the House as the Speaker of the House, I will step down. Announced I'm stepping down shortly thereafter. So I think that is going to be a strategy. We're going to get it directly from MTG if we can get her at the airport here momentarily. In the next hour, there's a lot going on here. Like I said, Chris Miller, I'm talking to Cash Patel. We're trying to get Chris on. Huge breaking news about the J6 committee about suppressing the testimony of the acting Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller, in those very important days before January 6th when President Trump actually ordered 10,000 National Guard to be in Washington, D.C. for protection. Cash Patel, we're trying to get Cash to join us. I hear that is a three-part series over at the Daily Mail. So we're trying to get Chris Miller and Cash on for tomorrow's show. We have Garrett Ziegler on in the 6 o'clock hour. Garrett is that brilliant. He and Joanna Miller were the right and left hand of Peter Navarro in the White House, an absolute hammer over at Marco Polo, has done the best job, the single best job of exposing the Biden crime family in detail with all this research he's been doing on Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's business partners. He's going to be discussing this that came out, I guess it was yesterday, about the CIA. But I asked Mike Benz, who's been an expert in all things deep state and has kind of become the go-to guy. Mike, just enlighten me here about what's going on, because is it the Justice Department went to the CIA and said, you got to back off this investigation, and now there seems to be a whistleblower in Langley that's come forward to the Jordan Committee. This thing's kind of confusing. Can you break it down for me?
Yeah, so the Jim Jordan Judiciary Committee just put out basically testimony yesterday that a whistleblower had come to them from the CIA and said that the CIA had waived the Justice Department off an interrogation that it had wanted to do about, you know, one of the sweetheart funders of Hunter Biden. And, you know, why would the CIA be telling the DOJ to back off in an interview of the person funding Hunter Biden? Well, to my mind, and this is opinion, I should note, there's no great mystery here. I have been screaming for the better part of 2 years now that the reason that Hunter Biden is untouchable is because his work in Ukraine touched on a very sensitive CIA operation. That's what, as I read the tea leaves, it seems highly likely. And I suspect that if you were to have an investigation into this by, say, the House Intelligence Committee, or there could be declassified documents about CIA analyst memos and CIA operations around Burisma, I think you would essentially have the scales around Hunter Biden completely fall off. And the reason for this is because we have had a long-range plan to bankrupt Gazprom, the state-owned Russian gas giant, which makes up a huge proportion of Russia's revenues. It's a big part of how Russia funds its war machine. Russia's war machine has been what's opposed the Pentagon around the world in a very big way over the past 8 to 10 years. The reason that President Obama failed to basically capture Syria and take out the Bashar al-Assad regime was because Russia militarily backstopped Syria with these S-400 missile defense systems. Russia also runs small arms to rebel groups all around the world, in opposition to Pentagon interests. You also have this basically $1 trillion windfall that NATO energy companies would earn if you could kill Gazprom and replace the energy exports to Europe with NATO stakeholders. You had Chevron signing a $10 billion deal with Naftogaz in Ukraine, which is the feeder from Burisma in 2013. You had also in 2013, right before the coup, a $10 billion deal signed by Shell. You have Exxon with billions of dollars in interest there. You have Halliburton, Dick Cheney's, the company that he was the CEO and chairman of the board, who's got the processing rights for the shale fields in the Donbass, as well as for the offshore drilling in the Black Sea. So you have basically a where's Waldo, who's who of all of the major players in the Chamber of Commerce, State Department, CIA blob, who are all have vested interests in removing Russia from the European energy market. And Burisma, I believe, was a part of that long-range plan. So Hunter Biden himself was on the chairman advisory board of the NDI, the National Democratic Institute. That is the DNC wing of the National Endowment for Democracy, who even the Washington Post reported on in the 1990s as being our premier CIA cutout. You don't get to be on the chairman's advisory board of NDI unless you are linked to or vetted by the Central Intelligence Agency. At the time, Hunter Biden's father, Joe Biden, spent 30 years on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which is the Senate's oversight of the State Department. And the covert, that has to coordinate the covert side of intelligence work. Now, you also have the fact that you have the Atlantic Council was neck deep in Burisma. They had a formal cooperation agreement they signed in January 2017, just 2 weeks before Trump was inaugurated. The Atlantic Council has 7 CIA directors on its board. And it gets annual funding from the Pentagon, the State Department, and the CIA cutout, National Endowment for Democracy. They held a 3-day summit on Gazprom as an instrument of statecraft and how to remove it while simultaneously propping up the Ukrainian gas market through companies like Burisma and Naftogaz. So you have basically this sweeping CIA consensus. And by the way, you even have USAID funding. USAID is to Burisma, and USAID was is long been one of the premier conduits for cash being flowed to clandestine CIA operations. So between the CIA cutout work through the NDI, between the affiliation with the Atlantic Council, which has 7 CIA directors on its board, through the role of USAID in this story, to the fact that that right next to Hunter Biden on Burisma's board was Kofor Black, who spent 30 years in the CIA and was Mitt Romney's Sherpa to the intelligence world in the 2012 presidential election, who won a CIA Distinguished Medal Award, was the other American on the board of Burisma there, representing the IRI side of it. Mitt Romney is on the board of the IRI, which is the GOP side of that CIA cutout, National Endowment for Democracy. So you had this John McCain, Mitt Romney, Republican CIA interest, and you had this Hunter Biden, Atlanta Council, Democrat nexus, all invested in joint spoils for switching the European gas market from Russia towards NATO. And I believe that's the reason that you have the CIA stepping in to shield who's really funding Hunter Biden from scrutiny.
Wouldn't you have hoped, by the way, the Gazprom and to take away their natural resources, the economic war there is exactly what they were trying to do on the financial side with taking down their central bank, destroying the ruble. And now, as we talked about this morning with Jim Rickards, he says the way that the Bretton Woods post-war international rules-based order collapses is not just we've frozen their assets, but the seizing of their financial assets, the treasury bills, converting them into dollars and give them to the Ukrainians, or to do some sort of bond off it. But you got the economic warfare, the pincer move on the Russians twofold. Wouldn't you think, Mike, wouldn't you hope that Jim Jordan and people on the both oversight and his investigative committee at Judiciary had already had the House Intel guys give them a full dump on Hunter Biden? Or you think that, do you believe that hasn't been done yet? And that's why this alleged whistleblower is causing such a big ripple in Washington, D.C. right now?
I still get the sense that many members of the House on the GOP side are optimists fundamentally in a certain respect about the government. And while some of that halo has been shattered by the absolute insanity of the corruption of this Justice Department and all of the dirty tricks that have been done to the Trump movement. I still think they don't quite grasp how deep it all goes. I mean, even Bill Barr, the head of the Justice Department under Donald Trump, started his career in the CIA and was, famously credited by the Washington Post for blocking Congress from being able to investigate the CIA's role in Iran-Contra. I mean, this is something that there's a long pedigree of Congress being blocked from overseeing the very intelligence agencies that are supposed to answer to them. I would hope that Jim Jordan is coordinating with the House intelligence folks and with Senator Marco Rubio on the Senate intelligence side. But it would be simple as this: get a gang of eight to look at all of the classified intelligence around Burisma. And what I'm telling you is, if you pop that open and you let even eight people, go into a skiff and look at the CIA analyst memos touching Burisma and Naftogaz and the operations planning around Burisma and Naftogaz, it will pop open a hornet's nest, and those eight people will walk out of that room with their faces as white as a ghost.
Benz, can you just hang on for a second? I want to take a short commercial break here in a minute, bring you back, and I want to go back a little bit to your journey when you say, because I think this is very important for this audience to start to understand this as they start to build their own mental map. You said a lot of congressmen, a lot of us, you were saying, are optimists today. A lot of us were optimists in previous years, but all those mirages have been shattered. And I want to walk through you with your journey and how you've become one of the leading experts in the apparatus of the deep state and how's every part of American life. Mike Benz is going to stick with us through the break. A big story, we're going to have Garrett Ziegler on in the next hour. A whistleblower has come forward to say that DOJ, that a couple of official, senior official DOJ, went to Langley and got the CIA to waive off an investigation or waive off dealings with Hunter Biden. Hopefully, when you get this impeachment back on track, it's going to take something like this. Short commercial break. Birchgold.com. In times of turbulence, why has gold been a hedge against financial turbulence? Call Birchgold. Go to Birchgold right now /Bannon. Contact them. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team today. We're going to get into depth on it tomorrow morning on the Saturday show. Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that, $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, we're still going to go back to the situation in Moscow. We're going to go to MTG. I'm not sure we're going to get her at the airport. She may have already caught her flight. If not, we'll get MTG tomorrow morning. Big newsmaker today. She teed it up in the A block at the 10 o'clock hour. She said something was going to happen, and it did happen. And there's a lot there. Mike Johnson, total betrayal. And the people that voted for it, hey, you see what they voted for. You are what your record says you are. Mike Benz, I noticed when you said a moment ago about the situation in Syria, you didn't say the United States policy. You said the Defense Department's policy. Also, you worked at HUD with Ben Carson. You're at the White House. You're at the State Department. You're a tech lawyer. You know this You know the apparatus, the deep state and the administrative state as well are better than anyone. You said that, hey, there's still people that are optimists. Do you call yourself a realist? And in being a realist, is that why you say it's not American? Is not the American people or the Republic of America, the American Republic's foreign policy in Syria, but the Defense Department, sir?
Yeah. And, you know, I do consider myself a sort of long-term optimist. But, you know, the fact is there's no two ways to go about learning about, you know, the history and the shape and the evolution of the blob of the foreign policy establishment that exerts so much control over Washington without going fundamentally through the five stages of grief, you know, where first you have denial, and then you've got anger, and then you've got bargaining, and then you've got depression, and then you come to a place of acceptance. And every step of the way, I think mentally people fight that as much as they can. They deny as much as they can to themselves. Well, it's not that bad. It can't be true. Then anger, you know, it's, oh my gosh, it's, you know, how could this happen? Our country isn't what we told it was. And then bargaining, well, sure, it's maybe there's some parts of it that aren't quite as bad. And then the depression sinks in of how bad things really truly are. And then finally, that gives way to a place of acceptance where you can see things, you know, quite, you know, a lot more clearly. And yeah, this is when I used to give these lectures. I used to get feedback of saying, Benz, why do you love the CIA so much? Why do you love the Pentagon, the State Department, and what they're doing so much? You're telling us how evil they are, and yet you talk about them, you know, in such normalizing, legitimizing tones. And, you know, to me, that's not intentional. And I sort of laughed when I would hear that feedback, because you get to a point, I think, that I see a lot of folks who are members of Congress who are not yet at, where you have to get through the other side of it. You have to appreciate just how bad things are in order to be a realist about what you can actually do about it. And, you know, there's a lot of these sort of Candidian characters on our side, I feel, in Congress who are well-meaning, but they sort of have a Panglossian kind of, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of naivete about the forces that they're up against. And I think that allows them to be taken by surprise with every new twist and turn and every new dirty trick that's unveiled by the forces they're trying to reform.
Mike, last question, and we always appreciate you coming on. With President Trump and his attitude and his language about the deep state and the administrative state, and you have people like allies of him, like Tucker and Elon, you got people like General Flynn, you have yourself, you have Stephen Miller, and you got Kash Patel and Grinnell, and I can go on and on and on. And people like yourself that will staff these agencies, staff the State Department, the Pentagon, the National Security Council. How can it be that the deep state would allow at any price for Donald J. Trump to return at high noon on the 20th of January, 2025 to the White House, sir?
Well, there's two ways. You know, one is, you know, that there always is, just with U.S. military counterinsurgency doctrine, there's a fine balance between legitimacy and control. So, you know, the purpose of our counterinsurgency doctrine militarily is when rule of law is insufficient to contain a rising, you know, insurgent political group who's trying to overthrow a U.S.-backed, you know, basically puppet you know, for example, Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan, you know, was being opposed by, you know, there's a lot of corruption going on. There were these insurgent groups rising to power. You know, this happens in dozens of countries around the world that we have effective control over. And so oftentimes when rule of law is insufficient to contain that, we kick out our counterinsurgency doctrine, where there's a lot of nasty things that we will do to the resident population in order to get their minds right to stop opposing the ruling regime. And the issue is you need legitimacy in order to govern cheaply. That is, a people who have grievances in their heart, a people who feel that the government is illegitimate, are expensive to govern. In fact, you can even read the 2014 counterinsurgency official annual, there's a 2014 official counterinsurgency doctrines available on the U.S. Army website that goes through all this, where they talk about how, you know, a perception of legitimacy in the population makes people inexpensive to govern. That is, they'll pay their taxes, they'll show up on court on time, they won't try, you know, they won't engage in the kind of civil disobedience that is materially expensive to exert the resources to control. So you want people to essentially have nothing and be happy with it rather than having nothing and being angry and having all these grievances. But in a counterinsurgency situation, you are starting off the chess game essentially with them already having those grievances, and you need to exert control over that population in order to force them to get to a state where they are compliant and then perceive legitimacy. And the issue is there's a trade-off between legitimacy and control. The more control you exert, the more illegitimate people perceive things to be. So you create 10, you know, more insurgents with every one insurgent that you persecute. In fact, we're seeing this right now, I think, reflected in the polling numbers for Donald Trump in this election cycle, where the more they're persecuting him, the more his numbers are going up, you know, which was much to their surprise. But anyone who would read U.S. military doctrine would, you know, on counterinsurgency would see that immediately. But, you know, the other way, so there's only so far they can go. And now they may go full authoritarian. You can argue they already have. I mean, I believe they already have with what they've done, breaking 2.5 centuries of precedent with everything they've done with the Justice Department, the bankrupting folks, going after everyone around the populist universe, including yourself. But you know, the other way is if a certain node within the blob itself can be convinced that it's not worth going full control, that would be too far, you know, in terms of creating international perceptions of illegitimacy if their crackdown is too hard. And there are certain concessions that Trump world makes to the blob. So, for example, I heard it floated that Marco Rubio, you know, who knows who the vice president pick is going to be, right? It could be one of 10,000 people. But, you know, there's, you know, that name was floated this week quite publicly. And, you know, Senator Rubio is the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. You know, he's a person who a little bit like Ted Cruz has tried to position himself as not a never Trumper, but, you know, very much like with the foreign policy side, you know, as but sort of straddling those two worlds, but very definitively being, you know, sort of pro blob consensus. A figure like Marco Rubio, for example, might be able to convince a critical, you know, a critical node within the blob that while we don't like Trump, you know, we're going to do a little bit of election rigging. We're going to put our thumb on it as much as we can, get away with it. But if he has to be in office, we've got these insurance policies like Peter Strzok contemplated. If he gets out of hand, we can rev up the FBI on him this way. We've got buffers in the White House because of pre-commitments he's made on personnel, including on the vice president thing. So, you know, there's lots of ways that it could play out where they might find it, you know, acceptable. And the other part is no matter what happens, you know, Trump will only have 4 years. You know, there's going to be a succession issue at some point. And they may argue, well, listen, there's only so much damage that can be done in 4 years. There's no clear line of succession right now in Trump world. If we have bumper cars on his ability to govern and the bureaucracy is still fundamentally in control, then it might not be such a bad thing, or it might not be worth what, you know, the kind of, you know, very dark, you know, what James Carville just described yesterday on TV is the kind of, you know, he used the term wet work. Now, I think he was using it allegorically, but, you know, this is, they're not too far from that right now with Trump facing 700 years in prison.
I'm not so sure. No, I think Robert Kagan, when he did the Red Caesar, he did the huge piece in the Washington Post that went back and made the justification why Brutus was correct or what was happening to the Republic at the time in the assassination, putting together the assassination of Caesar. And Robert Kagan made it right there. I think Carville's talking out loud, saying the quiet part out loud. As I've said, I think the only way President Trump could be stopped is an assassination. Look at Robert Kagan. There's not a bigger public intellectual for the apparatus, is there, sir?
And Robert Kagan's counsel on October 20th, just 2 weeks before the 2020 election, he wrote in Brookings Magazine his proposal to the next president of the United States. And it was just three sentences: respect the blob, learn from the blob, love the blob. That was the arch blob monster in his own words.
Benz, you're very unique. Having served in the first Trump, you'll have a major position, obviously, and a lot of people are going to be dependent upon you to say, please, even though it's 4 years, it's the start of a lot longer than that. And the way you take down the administrative state and then the rogue element, the deep state, is to go to work fast and hard right at the beginning. Benz, where do people follow? Your content's been amazing. So where do people get to you?
Thanks. The best place on X, at Mike Benz Cyber. And then also our investigative work through my foundation is foundationforfreedomonline.com.
Mike, just extraordinary. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
We're going to get to part two of this. Garrett has been doing, Garrett Ziegler. And here's a great thing. Peter Navarro, there are no coincidences. Peter Navarro's in prison. He's in prison because he's one of President Trump's most stalwart, not just defenders, but implementers of policy. The whole thing with confronting the Chinese Communist Party was really the brainchild. Lighthizer has a lot to do with the trade piece, but the entire thing, the architecture of it, the engineer for President Trump's architecture was Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro had a staff over in the executive office building just across that little street inside the White House compound. His two type people were Garrett Ziegler and Joanna Miller. And, you know, Joanna's been on the team, on the show many times. She's now on the Trump campaign. Garrett has become a tremendous investigator in his own right over at Marco Polo and has caused fits to Abby Lowell and the entire team around around Hunter Biden. He's the one that's really, he's got a lot of information specifically about what this whistleblower is talking about. We're going to get to that in the 6 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock hour is going to be an explosive show because we got a cast of characters coming on that you're going to love. Okay, when we get back, we're going to play MTG. I want to make a note, and I don't think we have time to play it, but right now, you know, Admiral Kirby, about 2 weeks ago from the White House, podium, warned Russia that, hey, you guys, you got to be careful. You got to be careful about a potential attack. And they implied it was going to be from ISIS. Today, Jake Tapper, and there's no additional information, we're saying this could be ISIS inspired. Here's the point. Who took down ISIS? When President Trump took office, Barack Obama in the transition had said it's ISIS, the caliphate, the physical caliphate between Syria and Iraq. I shouldn't say between Syria. They took part of Syria and part of Iraq. They were a bigger physical entity and a more functional government than either the Syrian government or the Iraq government. They said this is a generational problem. It'll take you at least a generation, maybe more, maybe multiple generations. President Trump crushed the physical caliphate as commander-in-chief, I think within 18 months, 24 months at the outside. This is one thing Jim Mattis did under the direct guidance of President Trump. And now ISIS is rearing its head all over. Donald Trump gave you 4 years of peace and prosperity, or at least 3 years, 3.5 years until the Chinese try to take him out with a bioweapon from the Wuhan lab. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. Make sure birchgold.com/Bannon. Gold, I think, at least the start of the day was at an all-time high from yesterday. Regardless of whether it's all-time high or pretty close, the question is, why is that happening? You know why it's happening is what happened in the House of Representatives today. This is fiscal insanity, not just monetary, fiscal insanity. We're going to talk that about what MTG is going to do about it and other like-minded people.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. DoneWithDebt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage DoneWithDebt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a DoneWithDebt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit DoneWithDebt.com. That's DoneWithDebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
The chaos on Capitol Hill. Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia today filed a motion to remove House Speaker Mike Johnson from the top job. This comes after House Democrats and Republicans joined forces to pass a $1.2 trillion spending bill to keep the federal government from shutting down tonight at midnight. Green and other far-right Republicans are outraged at the contents of the bill.
Why would Republicans vote for that? Because it's got a dangerous cocktail that the swamp has always served. and we're drunk on it today. What is that cocktail? Earmarks and budget gimmicks.
My Republican colleagues cannot go campaign against mass parole and use the name of Laken Riley because you pass a bill in her name when you fund the very policies that lead to her death.
This bill will absolutely destroy our majority and will tell every single one of our voters that this majority is a failure.
CNN's Melanie Zanona joins us from Capitol Hill. So Marjorie Taylor Greene offered this motion to vacate. Is Speaker Johnson's job really in jeopardy?
Well, Jake, I would say his speakership certainly is on thin ice right now. Anger had been brewing on the right all week over this bipartisan spending deal that Johnson cut with White House and Democrats. Last night, Marjorie Taylor Greene said she was, quote, done with Speaker Johnson. And this morning, she filed that resolution to oust Mike Johnson from the speakership. But she did not take a critical step to force a floor vote on the resolution. So a slightly different situation than when Gates took down Kevin McCarthy. But let's listen to a little bit more of what Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say.
I filed the motion to vacate today, but it's more of a warning and a pink slip. I respect our conference. I paid all my dues to my conference. I'm a member in good standing, and I do not wish to inflict pain on our conference and to throw the house in chaos.
So Green is essentially preserving this as a threat. She's keeping it in her back pocket. And for Johnson's part, he says he's not worried about losing his job. Many Republicans I talked to said they do not want to go down this chaotic route once again. And even some Democrats are now signaling they would actually save Johnson's job if he puts a Ukraine package on the floor. But this is certainly something that Johnson is going to have to contend with. He can't just simply ignore this threat.
If he puts the Ukraine, okay, he ought to be worried because we're rolling hard on this. What she's done is exactly what we did to take out Boehner, I don't know, 8 years ago. She just put it out there, go on recess, and then it's up to us, you, the audience, to tell your folks exactly what you think of this. Chaos? What could be more chaotic than what they just did, both on the financial status of this country with these now in perpetuity $1 and $2 trillion deficits, $1 trillion added to debt every 100 days, and the border totally open. Completely open. You saw yesterday. Mike Lindell, you join us. I also want to give everybody a heads up. Ronna McDaniel, breaking news. Ronna McDaniel has landed. She got a job. Come for all that great work she did at the RNC. She's an MSNBC contributor. Let me repeat that, Mike Lindell. She's got a job as an MSNBC contributor. Doesn't that make you feel good, brother?
You can't make this stuff up. This is the world we're in, you know, but we knew what Ronna was all along, and it's unbelievable. Nothing surprises me anymore, but that sure doesn't surprise me. And I wonder what she'll be talking about over there. It certainly won't be securing our election platforms. I'll tell you that.
No. I'm sure she's going to say what a great job Mike Lindell's doing with his tinfoil hat. No, this is the great unmasking. Talk to me about deals. It's a Friday afternoon. We got another big hour just up in a few minutes. People want to know deals. Mike Lindell, what are you going to do for us today?
Here's what I'm going to do, everybody. By the way, go look at all the Supreme Court filings at LindellPlan.com. You've made it all possible. When I'm out traveling, I'm going to three states right now. I bring with me my Roll and Go, my Go Anywhere pillow. Same patented fill that we have in all our pillows. You guys, these are the best pillows to take on the road. You get two of them, ready for this War Room Posse? Two of them for $25 and free shipping. You can't make this up. This is our best deal in history. Two My Pillows, multi-use My Pillows. There's hundreds of styles on there. We have In God We Trust. We have the Mount Rushmore. You name it, we've got it. $25 for two of them, everybody. And this is today's special. And then you can also go to the MyPillow.com website, and we have the bed sheet sale, the biggest bed sheet sale in history. Six-piece towel sets, $25. The dishcloth towels are dishcloths and towels, $25. There it is, the two-pack multi-use MyPillows we've added there with free shipping. You guys cannot beat this. These specials are exclusive to the War Room Posse. There's the couch and recliner pillows. I've got one right next to me. They're decorative. Those two, those pillows here, this is what I use on my plane here as I'm traveling. Remember, you guys made it possible. I'm traveling to three states now to meet people, meet the grassroots, and we are going to get rid of these machines and go to paper ballots, hand counting. You guys make all this possible. 1-800-873-1062. Tell them you want the two-pack Go Anywhere My Pillow specials. I get the flag, get the In God We Trust one. You guys, I don't leave home without it because when I'm traveling, I need it in those hotels. Remember, they have pillows that go down. It's a downer, everybody. You need pillows with support that you can adjust, get it home, throw it in the washer and dryer. The best pillows in history just got even better. You get two for $25 and free shipping. Steve, you can't beat that.
Mike, go about the work that you've got, you're laboring in the vineyard, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. MyPillow.com, promo code Warham. MyStore.com, promo code Warham. 800-873-1062. All the special deals exclusive to the War Room Posse. That's what Mike and the company think of this audience. They love them. We'll see Mike tomorrow. Okay, I can announce that we're going to start the 6 o'clock hour on fire. Stick around for this. Garrett Ziegler is going to join us. We're going to talk more about this whistleblower coming forward on the Hunter Biden of it all. Remember, they're seizing President Trump's assets. They're starting this weekend to take his assets. They want to bankrupt him. They want to put him in jail for 700 years. That's their objective. You heard Ben's. They're not just going to sit there and go, oh, this is great. President Trump's won. He's got 67% of the vote and 400 electoral votes. That's terrific. Why don't we just welcome him in here to take down the deep state? It's not going to be like that. We have to have an overwhelming turnout. And then they're still going to try to steal it. You talk about legitimacy. This regime has no legitimacy. You know why? They stole the 2020 election. Of that, that is a hard, demonstrable fact. And if they don't like it, they can suck on it. The American people know. That's what 62% of registered Republican voters think Biden's illegitimate. Okay, Tax Network USA. If you get a notice from the IRS, do not panic. Go to TNUSA.com/Bannon. Contact the people at Tax Network USA. It's a process. Take a deep breath. Contact the experts at Tax Network USA. Do not panic. Fear not. Short break. Back for the 6 o'clock hour on a Friday in the War Room. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action. That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.